Welcome to Moms Making Money, a membership-driven organization that helps moms successfully work from home by increasing their profits by up to 70% within a few months. You can find out more at our website, www.momsmakingmoney.org. Members, don't forget this month's teleclass is with Carol Hodges, From Worry to Wisdom. Explore the ways anger, crisis, frustration, depression, and disillusion can lead to a better understanding of yourself and your business. Learn how to accept every event as a lesson, and you'll gain the wisdom that pushes your business to the next level. Just log into the member section of Moms Making Money and learn how you can turn your worries into wisdom. If you would like to become a member, just go to www.momsmakingmoney.org and click on Join. Also, we'd love to hear your comments. Please call our listener line at 206-337-1077, and we'll post them to our podcast. Hi, this is Vivian Judah Frankel, and I am here tonight with Renee Walton, president of Moms Making Money. And today we're going to be doing our monthly installment of Everyday Life. And this is part two of what we did last month. Renee, why don't you tell us all about it?
Well, last month we did an installment called I Could Be Rich Just Like Her. And basically that was about how people, or moms, I should say, always try to base their business based on someone else's business. And they see the success that the other mom is having, but they're not having the same success.
Right, so there was a little bit of the green and the envy going on.
Of course. So we address, not to do that and why not to do that in the first chapter. And in this one, we're just going to tell you exactly what this fictitious woman is doing that makes her so popular and so rich with her business.
She's fictitious, huh?
Well, we'll just say fictitious. Like I said, my last one, my business model was Mrs. Fields.
Because I love
chocolate chip cookies, and I'm like, I bake the best chocolate chip cookies. My chocolate chip cookies taste better than Mrs. Fields. I'm sorry, I love you, girl, but mine tastes better. However, I'm not making a whole lot of money off of my chocolate chip cookies.
Right.
And it's the same thing. I'm sure you've had, different models that you looked at and thought, wow, I could do that too.
Just so our audience knows, Renee knows that I do because I call her all the time and going, look what they're doing.
And what does Renee always say?
Renee always says, don't worry about what they're doing. Just focus on what we're doing.
Just worry about what we're doing. Exactly. Because
kind of like
if they were
with your
busy
children,
focusing
right?
on us, then they wouldn't have done it.
All right. So give us the steps for success.
Well, okay. Basically what I want you to do is kind of step back to the last installment and kind of picture the young mother. She has no business experience, but she still uses her talents to start her own business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People always tell her that she's crazy. I'm sure you can relate to that because I know I can.
Mm-hmm.
They told her that her business would not be a success. She couldn't do that. Think about whatever it is. Mine is cookies.
Yeah. Actually, mine is Bejo bags.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. She was apparently on the rocks and started selling her bags.
Isn't that like just the greatest inspiration?
That's why
I want everyone to kind of picture this first. This particular mom stayed headstrong.
Mm-hmm.
And she was determined to make it. So whether it was Mrs. Field or Bejo Bags, they were determined to make it. And after years of hard work, what happened?
They did.
They did. And they're mm-hmm. successful and they're happy. Now we come in and look at it and go, wow, we want to do that.
And I think we talked about this last time, and certainly what you and I always talked about behind the scenes, is you don't know how many failures are going into that one success.
Exactly. We don't know.
You don't know what's going on.
Exactly. We just see the outcome. We just see the success part of it, but we don't see what they did to build it, how many times they stumbled. And could they have done it faster if they had moms making money? No doubt, I'm sure they would have.
It's like my favorite, I'm sure I've told you this quote. It's about marriage, but my favorite quote is, every marriage is an island and you're not on it.
Yeah, there you go.
You have no idea what's really going on.
No, you don't. You only see what the public sees.
Right.
You don't see behind the doors. And it's the same thing with the business. We don't see all the hours that this mom stayed up working
mm-hmm.
on her business. We don't see her failures. We don't see the tears that she put into it. We don't see the sweats. We don't see the arguments she had with her spouse. or the guilt. We don't see the guilt that she had by taking time away from her family. We don't see all that. All we see is the outcome of what she did.
Right.
So I'm going to share with you with just a couple of steps. Well, not a couple, four steps. We're going to take four steps. She made a whole lot of steps to get where she is. But I'm convinced that if you do these four first steps, you're on your way and you're on the same path that she is. And pretty soon we'll be looking at you thinking, wow, we could have been rich just like her. Footstep number one, it is the most important one, is you need to choose a business based on your own personal interests and passions. Now, I know you hate that word. It's just being overused. It's a good word, but it's just being overused. It's like a key word, and now everyone's using it to push your buttons. I'm using it because I want to push your buttons. I want you to find something that you absolutely love and do. I'm saying this because there's so many opportunities out there,
mm-hmm.
and they're all great opportunities. There's so many ways to make money these days. It's great. This country is just one of the most beautiful countries because you can make money actually selling peanuts on the side of the road. But do you want to sell peanuts on the side of the road?
Hot dogs.
Yeah, you have to kind of think about those things. And that's where I made my first mistakes. I don't know if you've ever done this, Vivian, but one of my biggest mistakes that I made years on, maybe about 10, 15 years ago, is I would always see somebody on TV or I'd always, you know, hear about something. Oh, they're selling Mary Kay. Oh, they're doing Avon. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're doing this. Oh, they're doing that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. But the question that you need to ask yourself is this something that you want to do? Is this something that you want to do even though you won't have any customers?
Well, you know what, actually, and I want to, what I did, one of my things is that I opened up a sunglass boutique when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal. I thought other people were doing it. Other people could be successful at it. You know, I can do that. And I did. But what I didn't take into account or what I later learned is I hate retail. I absolutely hate retail. And I think that's another thing that goes into I want to be rich just like her is you've got to really bear in mind how many failures and what was the path that people took to get to that one hit. There's usually, you know, most really successful entrepreneurs have had several misses in their path before they figured out what they're good at, what they like, and what they're passionate about.
And, you know, and that's the key thing is that you really don't know what you're passionate about until you get out there and try.
Yeah, I mean, I had to own a store to find out how much I hated it.
Exactly, exactly, you know, and it's like, you know, certain things that I absolutely love, like I love jewelry, but I'm not sure that I would be the best person to sell jewelry
mm-hmm.
in any way, shape, or form. You know, I thought home party would be the best thing for me, but then I found out I really didn't like to go into other people's homes. I wasn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find out what your passion is. Usually what I like to recommend to people is just, it has to be something that has your own joy present. It's something that you're already using or believe in, mm-hmm. and you're going to continue to use it and believe in it and utilize it regardless of how many customers you have.
Right.
Or how much money that you're making.
Right.
You know, you still love it. You still love it. So that's how you know you've got the right product, when you absolutely love it, because the joy will take you to your next step. Your joy, it will be infectious, and other people will be like, wow, she really loves it. Now, they might not want to join your business opportunity, but they may want your product.
Mm-hmm.
They may not want to start, you know, have a startup just like yours, but they may want your service.
Right.
So you have to make sure that you have
enthusiasm is contagious.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And for me, you know, we've been talking for the past few days about me, you know, me building the San Gabriel Valley chapter and how hard it is. And, you know, there are days when I sit there like, I don't think I'm going to do this. I want to go back and get me a 9-to-5 job where I don't think anymore. And the thing is, every morning I still get up
mm-hmm.
raring to go and happy that I have another opportunity to try it once more to build this, you know, grand chapter where I can, you know, bring this information locally to the people. And if my joy really wasn't in it and it gets really difficult, I think I would have let it go.
Well, that's an important point, is that, you know, and it's one that I do try to emphasize to people, is like, you know, it is hard working from home, and it is hard having your own business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the cakewalk that everybody thinks it is. And if you don't love it, God, how do you begin to make yourself go into your office, log on to the computer, find the time when you're tired if it's not something you're passionate about?
Exactly. The passion has to be number one. The monetary value has to come down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can't just focus like, wow, I can be rich just like her. I can, you know, make $1 million selling a lipstick. No, not really. Not really. Not if you don't wear lipstick. Not if you don't like lipstick.
Right.
So it makes it a little hard. So if you get away from the monetary promises, which means the opportunity, the money opportunity, that's what I'm trying to say. Don't focus on how much money you can make doing this, because you can make that much money doing just about anything that you want to do. So don't focus on that. Just focus on what makes you happy, what brings you joy. When you look at your product or your service, do you step back and are you proud? Do you use it? Do you feel good about it? Because it's hard, like you said, it's hard work. So you want to make sure that you're, you know, you pick the right product. You're joyfully using it, regardless of what other people say. I picked a product one time.
Because you're going to be stuck with it for a while. So.
Well, yeah, but I remember I picked something, and, you know, my mom was like, well, gee, I don't use that. Don't use that one. You know, pick another company. I'm like, but I like this one. And I went ahead and I did it, and I'm still happy with it. I'm still happy with it.
Good.
And I use it every day.
Very good.
Okay, now, the second footstep. You have to match your business with the right customers.
Mm.
Now, I talked about this last month, but here's the thing with this. We always feel like if we can reach 1 billion people, let's make it an easier number, 1,000 people,
mm-hmm.
that those, out of that 1,000 people, maybe 900 will want our product. But if you have 1,000 people,
mm-hmm.
who are not looking for that particular product and don't really want that particular product, now you're doing something. I just love this this saying. You're putting your ladder up against the wrong mountain, which means you're spending all your time trying to convince those 1,000 that you found that your product is worth buying.
So that they need your product.
Exactly, exactly. And what happens with that is you end up spinning your wheels. You end up spending hundreds of dollars and thousands of advertising hours. Oh, I said that backwards, didn't I? Hundreds of hours and thousands of advertising dollars. Maybe I should read my notes. You're trying to convince them. You're spending all your time trying to convince people to utilize your service or buy your product.
Right. I always liked Denise Michael's teleclass about that, envisioning who your perfect customer is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that was really useful. You know, really drill down and be as specific as you can and then go after that customer rather than just saying everybody wants my product, because, you know what, you're right. It's too hard to get everybody.
Well, when you do that, when you use that, when you, you know, start to think in terms of how your product will actually solve, you know, a problem,
mm-hmm.
or someone can really, you know, utilize what it is, and then you start thinking, like, that's what I'm doing now with the chapter. I'm starting to think, okay, I'm looking for moms who really want to utilize our services, okay?
Right.
And then I need to start thinking, where do these moms usually go to get the answers that they're
mm-hmm.
looking for? And then I got to make sure that I'm there. Now, it sounds easy, but it's not.
Yeah.
Those two steps are two of the hardest steps that you will make.
Right, and it's funny. I remember Denise talking about you may get the customers that aren't your ideal customers, but then you have to decide if you want them or not.
Exactly.
And we've actually been through that process because
we
started out saying, of course, every mom, you know, almost every, or a lot of moms want to stay at home with their kids and make money.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? That's not specific enough. And
no,
when we were pulling
not.
In a lot of these people who are on the fence, it was kind of just dragging us down.
Yeah.
We needed moms.
I've discovered that I'm looking for the mom that wants to stay home with their children
mm-hmm.
and work from home.
Right.
Work from home. There is my key. Work. Okay. You're willing to work from home. I got to find those moms. So if you're out there, contact me at, no, I'm kidding.
Renee@mondthinkingmoney.org. I'll just fill it in for you.
Just
Give us a job.
Contact us, please, because if you are okay with working from home, if you're actually going to work, then we can help you. That's our perfect client. But, you know, for those of you that are listening, that might not be your perfect client, of course.
No, they have to find out their perfect client. But, for example, for somebody who sells, you know, makeup and beauty products, I mean, you could walk around going, my product, my customer is everybody, because everybody wants to look beautiful.
Yeah, but not everybody wears makeup.
Yeah, exactly. And not everybody, and even people, some people wear makeup, but then some people may not like blue eyeshadow.
Or they may not like, you know, that type of makeup. They may rather go to the makeup counter to get it, or, you know, they believe in a certain type of makeup, or, you know, they have a particular price point they spend for their makeup. So that's what I say, those two steps there, you know, trying to target your customer. Yeah, they're very, very hard to do. Very hard to do. And that will take some of your time. But once you've got that narrowed down and you've got it, then you're going to find that these people really do want to use
the sniper instead of the shotgun, right?
Yes. And they're going to, again, it's going to be joy. They're going to joyfully say, hey, Vivian, I want to work from home. Help me. I don't mind breaking a sweat. I don't mind staying up late and working on my business. Just show me how to do it the smart way. That's what you want. That's, you know, for your listeners, that's what you want. That's the type of customer that you want. You want them to come to you and you know, beg you for your service. If you can target those people and advertise to just those people, you're going to cut your time down, and you're going to not burn out, and you're going to be a lot more happier with your business choice. Okay. So we're doing that. Now what? Oh,
Your third.
Okay.
Step
all right.
Away from the crowd.
Oh, yeah, step away from the crowd and identify yourself. This is important for everybody, including us, because we don't want to look like every other work-at-home site out there.
So in business speak, define your USP.
Yes, exactly. What is your USP?
Your unique selling proposition.
Very good. You need a competitive edge.
Yeah.
People don't like that word, I know. It's such a harsh word. But in everything, there's competition.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's brings the best out of all of us.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't like competition. They just want
to share their
basket of wares and sell them.
Yeah,
you know?
But you know what we used to say in the internet industry? We were brainstorming, coming up with brand new products. It's actually a lot worse not having competition, because when you have a competitor, your space is defined and people understand who and what you are. When you are the only one, it's a much harder battle. So for all of those people who say, I hate competition, it's actually a blessing in disguise. Yes, you have to overcome something, but it's a lot easier to say how much you are better than your competition than to try and explain to your customer something that they completely don't have any familiarity with.
That makes really good sense. I'm glad that you shared that with us, because I really like that. Well, you have to put that up on the site so people can read that. Well, okay, so if you don't have a unique product, you can discover unique ways of selling your product, right?
Yeah.
So
there's always something unique, whether it's something about you, that's the way you're selling it, maybe, you know, your customer service. There's always something unique. You just need to find it within you or your product.
I got a really cool example from a book called Homemade Money, Bringing in the Bucks, and it was written by Barbara Brabeck. Barbara, I hope I spelled that right. She had a really good excerpt in there with a good example. And I'm going to try to read this, and bear with me because I left my glasses downstairs. But this is a good example of having the same, like a everyday product or service, but finding a different way to present it so it can be unique, and then you find your targeted customer for that. So let's see. Barbara writes, if you were to offer an originally designed vest and call it a handmade patchwork vest, you'd likely appeal to the type of buyer who might pay $25 to $45 for the items at like craft fairs or small shops. On the other hand, if you were to take that same item, create half a dozen other unique vest designs, and call the line investments, you might be able to sell the garments for up to $500 to an exclusive audience who are used to spending thousands of dollars on a designer clothing. Now, the reason why I use that is because just taking that same item and you know, reworking your presentation and your advertising and your target market, mm-hmm. you can also increase how much you sell. You can increase your profit by doing that.
Right.
And I think that's really important because I don't know why I think that's really important. Why do I think that's really important? I'm so tired. I think it's really important because a lot of times, like when I do chapter meets, like when we do our gatherings, our work groups and things, some people will not come based on who else is there. So let's just say if someone's selling a blue book and they find out someone else is selling a blue book, well, she's already selling a blue book, so I'm not coming to the meeting. And it's like, okay, well, she's selling a blue book, but she may be selling a blue book with purple writing and a green banner, and her book could be $400. You could be selling a blue book with pink writing, and your book could be $25.
Mm-hmm.
It looks the same, of course, but it can always be different. And that's really good for the ones who are doing, like, the home party.
Yeah.
Companies and different mm-hmm. things like that. There's so, when you have that many products, like I love Bath & Body, when you have that many products, you can't possibly sell all of the product line.
Right.
So, my suggestion would be to pick one thing that, you know, you really like my favorite is tea tree products.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that just about everywhere. A couple companies will specialize just in tea tree, but they have other stuff too.
Yeah, I did fundraising, as you know, for a little while, and when I was doing fundraising for this organization, it had 10 different educational outreach programs.
Mm-hmm.
And what they said to us in the beginning was, you can't talk about all 10 programs. But find the ones that you connect with the most and that you're passionate about, and that will really convey a sense of excitement in that. And it's the same, like you said, for a lot of these companies, you know, it's exactly what you're saying, is find something that you're passionate about, that you're really quick with, and then you can sell that and find out and put your own unique spin on it as well.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
need to go with exactly the company dialogue.
Yeah, yeah, the training they give you, yeah.
Yeah, find the thing that you absolutely love, that you're passionate about, that you use, and find out why it's so great for you personally, and then that
mm-hmm.
will then communicate to your customers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's perfect. That's a perfect analogy. Okay, that takes us to the fourth step. It's not the final step, but it's the first four that will get you on the right path. And the fourth step is allow your business to make money for you. So many people don't do this. It's like once they have their business, they hold on to it, and they want to do everything themselves, which defeats the purpose of being in business for yourself. You want this business to ultimately work on its own and generate an income for you. If those are two things you do not want, then it's not a business. It's a hobby.
Right.
Okay, so this, I like this part because I know you can speak to this so much more, but it's like the technology, the different ways that you can automate your business
mm-hmm.
so you're not staying up late at night returning emails or filling out orders or processing credit cards. There's so many different ways that you can automate your business so that just happens automatically while you're sleeping.
It's called passive income.
There you go.
That's what we all striving to achieve, is getting a passive income. And that's the beauty of the web,
mm-hmm.
is set everything in place and get it going. And for people who are selling product, it's the same thing. You may be selling to stores or your consumer, you know, whether you're business-to-business or business-to-consumer, set up your website, and once you've got them as customers, they can go order their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily
exactly.
have to be on top of it all the time.
Exactly. It's like I've taken a few system and processes workshops and classes,
mm-hmm.
and they all have this one quote. They always say 90% of home-based businesses fail because they simply do not have the quality business process in place.
Wow.
So it's like when, you know, we as work-at-home moms, when our business ultimately fails and we've burned out and we've tried everything and we've spent all our advertising dollars and we've stayed up all night and it's still not working and we ultimately give up, it's not because we didn't want to be a success. It's because we didn't have the right processes.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't allow our business to work. We worked for our business. So with that, what should we do? Because we can do it all. I know I can. I know
what do you
I
think?
Can. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I guess I should confess that I'm the one that almost burnt the kitchen down, because I can do it all. I can be on the computer. I can do laundry. I can play with my son. I can talk on the phone. And I can cook a meal.
Right. And for those of you who aren't listening, I refer to that in my blog. And I was trying to be subtle and not say who it was.
Yeah, she was trying to be subtle, and then I panicked. But I'm like, you know, it brings in a valid point, because I know I'm not the only work-at-home mom that's done, forgot.
Burned down a house?
Yeah, burned down the house, put the cookies in and forgot, you know, went on and got on the emails and lost track of time. We can do it all, but we don't want to do it all, because ultimately we're home because we want to spend more time with our family. And if we're spinning our wheels with our business, then we're not getting it. We're not doing this the right way. We're not getting it in our head, you know.
Excellent point.
So there's different ways you can do it. I would start by making a list of all the tasks that I don't like, and that's what I did. Did I tell you? I got a virtual assistant.
Yeah. I was just thinking, some businesses are labor-intensive.
Uh-huh.
I know people that do very well on eBay selling. It's an extremely labor-intensive business, though.
Oh, boy, tedious.
Tedious. And I'm not saying it's not, I mean, you know, obviously these people make good money doing it, but, you know. The solution is an assistant, because you can't do it all the time.
Yeah, they will be the first one to tell you it's very, very hard and you need help. And it's okay to ask for help. It's
yes.
not like you can't do it.
It is. You need to. And, yeah, if you have a labor-intensive business and you can't automate, you know, a lot of your processes, you need to bring in somebody. The key to good management and business success is delegation. You cannot do everything.
Yeah. So if you don't want to get a virtual assistant, which it took me 2 years to, you know, come to that conclusion, but if you don't want to do that or you're not ready to do that, there's so much technology out there. And Vivian is like the technology queen when it comes to automation and all that. There's so many different things that you can do to keep from having to do the what I call the daunting task, the tedious task, the task that just burn you out and make you not want to even go into your home office.
Mm.
You know, research these types of things. Is
that's
there
that,
auto
you know,
responder?
You say I'm the queen of technology. I knew about all of them. You're the one who told me to spend the money and actually do it, though.
Oh, well, you're the queen of technology. I'm the queen of execution.
Yeah, I'm the queen of cheap. But, you know, and that's the point,
it's
is I was killing,
like,
you know, killing myself and Renee saying, I'm not going to spend $500 on that.
Well, I'm telling you, I'll pay $500 if it gets me more time with my family.
Well, no, and you were right.
It keeps us in business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love getting new members. But as our membership database started to grow, man, I started getting kind of ticked off.
Yeah.
Because that was more work for me.
It was too
and
much.
And I got to the point where I didn't want to advertise it anymore, because I'm like, no, they'll join, but I'll have to do all this paperwork. No, let's not do any more advertising until I get back from vacation. Because
there's me going, la, 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 I'm not enjoying
it. Yeah, I've been advertising more. So, you know, what we ended up investing in is a automated membership system. Now, yeah, it cost us a little bit to, you know, go ahead and do it. And it took us some time to set it up. But once it's up, our members love it. They can just sign right in. They can get exactly what they want, and we never have to miss a beat. We can still have dinner with our kids and also do all those things.
Yeah, and to the point, your customers who are our members are also getting serviced better.
Mm-hmm.
There's only
they are.
So many
because they're getting
hours,
their answers
yeah,
right away.
Exactly.
They're getting their answers right away.
There's only so many hours in your day. So, for example, going back to the eBay thing, people expect to be answered right away. They expect their products quickly, and they expect it to ship the second they buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get people who can actually cover you, or you need to get a solution that's going to cover you, not just for your own sanity, but also to keep your customers happy, right?
So automate as much as you can, and then delegate. When you're ready, delegate.
So our motto is automate and delegate?
Automate and delegate.
Great. So going back to where we started, you're saying that these are the
basic four steps to start with. These are crucial steps. Don't think, okay, I've got the four steps, now I can go off and be rich. No. This is going to take a little bit of work. That's why we broke them down the way that we did. You know, the worst thing that you can do with your business is try to wing it. I don't need to take these four steps. I don't need to have to worry about it. It'll be okay. It's like gambling with your business. And 97%... fail. That's just a high number. It's too high of a number for me. I can't take that kind of chance.
It's heartbreaking to see somebody put their blood, sweat, and tears into a business and watch it fail.
Right, right. So if you can just, you know, for the listeners, if you can just understand that the desire alone is not going to be enough. You need really valuable information, and you need to execute.
Yeah, what do they say? Well, we all know
what
that.
What do they
quote.
Say? Is there a saying?
Well, there are several of those come to mind, but, you know, a successful business is one part inspiration or 10-part inspiration, 90% perspiration.
There you
or,
go.
And the other thing is ideas are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
has ideas. That's not
do
what's going to make
you
money.
Do you ever look at that show? There's like this show where, well, there's all kind of shows, but do you ever like see people where they have like an invention and you think, you say, oh, my goodness, I came up with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I thought of the spray butter. The spray butter and the spray, what do you call it, the salad dressing.
Oh, I don't even know about that.
Yeah, I got spray salad dressing. Just a little spritz, 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 you know?
Oh, nice.
And I thought of that. My goodness, I even put like a little pump into, you know, one of my wishbone things, you know? And but I didn't execute. I didn't do anything. Someone actually came up with the idea and took
and
it a step farther. Yeah. So, yeah, you can have all the great ideas that you want.
Or, you know, it's a good one. I mean, we're all moms. How many of our kids have, like, taken the toilet paper and run with it and stuffed it all in the toilet? Okay, we've all have thought, oh, my God, somebody needs to put something on this stupid toilet paper thing so you can't run away
so
with that.
So they can't do that, exactly.
Right, and now there's something. But, you know, that idea has probably been thought up like 300 million times.
Oh,
but
sure.
Somebody actually went ahead and you know, made it.
When I first had my son, when I brought him home, I came up with about 20 different ideas.
Right.
A bassinet warmer, something you could put in to warm up the bassinet, because you know how when they're little, they don't, you know, when they're infants, they don't like anything cold because they start to scream. Ah! So, of course, I wanted everything to be nice and toasty and warm. And I'm like,
well, that's where we got the silly wipe warmers, right?
Yeah, but they dry them out, though. But I came up with so many different ideas over in the middle of the night. And I write them down, and then I would always push them off to my husband. You're the smart one. Develop it. Take the money out of the account and develop it. I'm going to try to take a nap. They're all great ideas, and now I'm starting to see them, you know, come forward. I saw a lady on Oprah that she had a really good idea for a round, what do you call it, changing pad. That had like little pockets and everything that you could put the diapers and the wipes and everything in. And then it folded up really, really small and you know, like a small square, like almost like a sandwich. But
that
it was round.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to worry about how to fit the squirming baby all around. And I'm like, I thought of that. I actually sewed them together and made them round.
Did you really?
Here you are.
So
yes. And here you are
on Oprah.
Yeah, just like they have the baby slings now. I remember my sister-in-law used to tie her baby to her. So she wouldn't have to carry her around when she was an infant. She said, you know, take old rags or whatever, just tie her around. Now they have this beautiful baby sling that was in different colors.
It's like $85 a pop.
Well, yeah, and people are buying it like crazy because they're like, wow, I don't have to use old rags. So, yeah, execute. Yeah, that would be my second thing is, yeah, definitely execute. So I like that. I like that other thing. What did we come up with? Something and delegate? What was our saying?
I'm thinking.
See, we just forgot it. What was the saying?
Well, it's okay because we can play it back.
Okay, we'll play it back and figure out what it is. But I like that one.
Well, our listeners,
yeah,
hopefully they remembered what it is.
Yeah, they'll remember, I'm sure. They'll forgive us.
Yes.
Okay, so are we done?
We are done. Well, thank you so much, Renee. And as usual, I can't wait for the next installment.
Well, I'm actually working on it for a change.
What's it going to be
called?
On
it.
All right, give us a teaser.
I'm not
going to
tell you. I'm not going to tell you. It's good, but it's going to be good.
So unsporting. All right. Well, hang on a second, Renee, while I say goodbye to our audience and disconnect.
Okay.
Well, goodbye, and thank you so much to listening to this installment of Everyday Life. And members, don't forget this month's teleclass is with Carol Hodges from Worry to Wisdom. Don't forget to listen to us next week where we're introducing tech tips with Elizabeth from Ben's Ranch. We're going to be talking about backing up your hard drive, something I'm sure many of us don't do enough of. This has been another Moms Making Money podcast. We would love to hear your comments. You can leave us a voice comment on our listener line at 206-337-1077 or email us at podcast, no S at the end, at momsmakingmoney.org. And don't forget to check out our website for more information on how you can turn your passions into profits.